This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, halflings! It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by...
Jeremy Cobb, but I just realized I don't have the nickname list up. I was not prepared! I thought I was prepared!
Jeremy.
I wasn't prepared! But Jesse Kovacs calls me J-Ream the Dream.
That's
I like
good.
That one.
That's like your basketball name, my dude.
Yes!
Do you know what I mean? Like, that would be your basketball
Ooh.
Name.
Ooh! Jareem Abdul-Jabbar.
If you were like... and then
Jareem Abdul-Kabbar. There
Whoa,
you go.
Jareem oh. Abdul-Kabbar. That's how we do it here. Speaking of how we do it here, we have a guest here. I am very, very excited to welcome our next guest on here on Three Black Halflings. Olivia Kennedy is here from Dicebreaker, video producer and content creator. How are you doing today?
Hi there, Needles. Hi, Jeremy. I'm doing pretty good. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Wow.
Oh my god!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full prince vibe? Woof!
This makes them even more black!
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh no!
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
And I love it.
Yeah! We're about to get into something real big now.
Crowd is going crazy. Oh, no. We always try to pump in noise from the stadium.
Yeah.
Absolute pandemonium.
Oh my god, right it's an honor. Everyone, hello. Mm.
Somebody has just revealed a sign that says the greatest Kennedy.
Uh-huh. Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better than. Oh, wait a minute. I think I see somebody with a live, love, laugh sign.
Oh, no.
No.
Get out.
That ship has sailed. That ship has sailed. Come on, folks.
But very excited to talk to you today, Olivia, about all things TTRPGs and. And maybe even a little bit of board games as well, which is something we just straight have not covered on Three Black Halflings before. So
Wow. Excited
to dig into a little bit of that as well. But Olivia, with all of our guests, we always start in the same place. We always like to ask a little bit of an origin story. So please tell us, give us a little journey down memory lane. Tell us what was the first instance for you in getting into this sort of nerdy space that you now... occupy and
this
find
nerdy soup.
This nerdy Ooh. Soup
currently, oh, yeah, currently like, simmering in.
This roll my broth. Way into this soup. Throw myself in head first.
Some seasoning.
I am the seasoning baby. I was just thinking about this. I was just like, how did this happen? I kind of like take a step back and I'm like, how did I get here? But I am eternally grateful to be here. I guess I've always been extremely nerdy. I've always been trying to, Dicebreaker, I play a bunch of board games and TTRPGs and stuff like that. I've always been trying to get my parents, when I was younger, to play board games with me. They were like, what a waste of time. This will never...
This will never catch on.
Exactly. Like,
the classic
There's no
line.
Future in this.
Yeah. Cars with four wheels?
Preposterous.
Two spectacles? Two circles of glass over your eye. Well, a monocle should be good enough for anyone.
Quite. This thing, this fire, I don't think it'll catch on.
Took it back to fire.
Circles?
Wow.
Wheels, please.
Feathers? Never.
Lungs and a brain? Pish posh.
Microorganisms?
Single cell organism.
their way out of the sea?
Yes, please. Single-celled organisms are the way to be. Multi-celled nonsense. Don't be greedy.
To be a husk. Actually, just a husk.
A big bang as opposed to a small one? No. Okay, we've literally got as far back as we can.
We've gone
now,
as far as the big bang.
Please continue, Olivia.
Okay. To give credit to my parents, they would help me out and like play board games with me when I was just like, you know, a wee sprout. But it's like only in recent years where like it's been like, wait a minute, people enjoy board games too, and then it's apparently cool to play board games. That's great. I can have fun with my friends. Wonderful. But in terms of like, the first RPG I ever played was D&D. Unless you want to count just like, you know, the role-playing game that is the stage.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
Just
the entrance.
Yeah.
It's the marijuana.
Yes, sort of, exactly.
The gateway game.
The gateway.
The gateway, yeah.
My glorious gateway was stage right. Basically I was just like, I'd heard of D&D for ages, but like in pop culture references and stuff, and I was like, this is always used as kind of like a throwaway joke, like, oh hey, look at how nerdy you are if you play D&D, and I was like, but I kind of want to give it a go.
But yeah, seriously,
yeah. I just want to find out about D&D.
Where can I get some of that there D&D?
Yeah, just like trying to find people just like under the cover of darkness, just like, hey, you know anything about D&D?
Yeah. They're handing you like dice bags and stuff.
Yeah.
What you want? You want a D8 ball?
Hey, my dude, like, I'm being serious. I need that D12. I need it.
Please, man, just one more character sheet. I promise. My character died. You don't understand. It was a TPK. I just need one more, please.
Gotta get my fix. And then I just like hear one of my friends from down the alleyway, just like, oh, hey, Liv, what are you doing? Run.
They're handing you the player's handbook in like a paper bag.
Oh,
yeah, and I'm just like reading it like it's just hidden.
You're in an alley.
You actively put something inappropriate like pornography or something on the outside. Just be like, oh yes, look at me, just at school reading this normal pornography like a teenager. Ah.
You're just like at your desk. She is wild.
You're like called to the principal's office to get in trouble for having porn in school.
And then he finds out it's D&D and you get expelled. He's like, God, get out.
I was out.
The whole school just shames you.
Yeah, I gave up everything for my craft. and here I am. I was in university like the first time I played D&D. And I'm incredibly anxious now, but oh boy, was I even more so, like, you know, up until like just a few years ago. And in my third year of uni, I was like, cool, I've done nothing in uni. I've just been kind of studying, doing my best, but I haven't like stepped foot outside my door. So like in the third year of uni, I was like, I'm going to try and take more risks. I think that would be quite nice. So when somebody from my class was like, hey, anyone want to play some D&D, which was just when 5th edition had come out. So I think it was just kind of like, people were like, oh, hey, maybe I can give this a go. They were like, oh, I'm going to try and DM the people if anyone wants to join. And I was like, oh my God, do I do this? Do I risk it all?
If you had one shot, ding, 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 ding,
as you're walking in, just rolling your dice, see if you can get out those nat ones. You're just like, meh, 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 meh.
You just gotta lose yourself. And you're just like, you're rolling dice.
Yeah, exactly. No, I brought mom spaghetti.
You only got one shot. Do not miss your chance to roll.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we gotta add that.
Because them crits come once in a lifetime.
Yeah. Oh, Jeremy, new task. Rewrite that song, please.
Oh my God, please.
Thank you. It's new Three Black Halflings theme song.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
Three Black Halflings has one white rapper.
We still keep mom's spaghetti.
Yeah.
That still has to stay in.
No, it's gotta be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually went there and met people and we played D&D, and it, honestly, I was immediately immediately hooked. It was like, I mean, I know we've referenced the idea that it was a drug, but like, you know, for real. Mm. it was great. Yeah.
Amazing.
That was my introduction.
I think, yeah, it's nothing that you anticipate, I think, D&D being quite as addictive as it is. I think it's like, I kind of liken it to, I feel like it's like what walking into Narnia must feel like, where it's like you walk through and you're like, whoa, this cool little winter wonderland, and there's a little lamppost, how cute, and oh, look, a fawn.
And James McAvoy is there.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, James McAvoy is there. Oh, look, a fawn. Yeah. Oh, some beavers. And then you get out of the snowy tree line, and suddenly you just look over this vast expanse, and you find out there's a king called Aslan, and an ice queen, and you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Yes! Oh, my God. And there's a ship over there, and there's a... Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like this ever-expanding thing, and once you're in, it's kind of you kind of just get lost. Do you know what I mean? And you think, why would I go back into a cupboard? Like, that would be so weird.
Back to real life. I don't think so.
No, I'm okay. Thank you. So then talk us then through the next part. How does it go from being this weird obsession and this like Narnia moment into like, hey, I want to do this. I want to be more involved. I want to be like us crazy folks here on the podcast and try and, you know, do this for like a living or whatever.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you do a great job of doing this sort of thing, so I'll say. But like, yeah, no, it's weird because, I mean, I guess I've been on Twitch and stuff for like a little bit. Like a year and a half now, I think. But like before that, I always did like little bits and bobs like on YouTube and like creative projects with my friends. So I've always been kind of like creatively minded and stuff. But I never thought to myself like, oh, I could combine that with my love of like tabletop and just be like, you know, just like run with it and stuff. And I even kind of, my previous job before joining Dicebreaker was in a marketing agency. So like, so I was just kind of like, well, I guess I'll just play tabletop things in my spare time and just kind of, you know, do the 9-to-5 thing. It'll be, you know, I can do that for the rest of my life. Shit. Totally. But yeah, thankfully that didn't pan out.
Thankfully that didn't happen.
It often does not, yes. I find.
I've just been kind of trying to work really hard on my Twitch channel. I've done like occasional D&D actual plays and stuff on there as well. But kind of everything really kicked off when I applied to Dicebreaker, and for some reason they were like, that makes sense. So that was...
I think there's a good reason, Olivia. You're selling yourself short. How dare you? Not on our show.
Thank you so much.
Not on our show.
Oh, yeah. No, obviously I was the prime candidate.
Yes. It was an easy decision for them to make.
One else could hold a candle. No.
Exactly. I mean, like, to be fair, they do tell me that regularly. So, you know, that's very kind of them.
There you go. Proof in the pudding.
Yeah, definitely. I just kind of applied to Dicebreaker with like, you know, like thinking, I've got Snowball's chance in hell, but like, you know, let's give it a go. And then, it actually happened. And now I'm able to do this for a living and like really kind of explore something in greater detail that I am absolutely in love with. So yeah, it was just basically, I've been given an amazing chance by this wonderful team. So it's really cool. I'm delighted.
What would you say is like the thing that when you first started playing D&D, but TTRPGs in general, and then like similar board games, what would you say, or if and it could be two things, if there's something different between like TTRPGs and board games that drew you, but like, what would you say is the thing that made you go, oh yeah, no, this is it, bro.
This is it. It's happening.
Yeah, I'm setting up shop here, and he's just starting like building, start like pitching a tent, setting up.
I think when I was like in my early 20s, I like lived with a bunch of my friends in a really huge house, basically, you know, we were just kind of like working part time and spending most of the time like fucking about and just like playing board games and playing TTRPGs. And just, it was just, honestly, it was like, it was, It was like, I was like, this is my prime. This is one of the, you know, most chill and fun times I'll have in my life, which technically wasn't the case, but like, it was a really good time. But yeah, it was just kind of like really thinking, I wake up every day and I want to play games with these people and have fun with my friends. And yeah, it was just, it was everything, you know? But yeah, I think also what really like solidified my love of like RPGs is just the amount of laughs you can have. Like, I know it sounds quite cheesy.
No, not at all. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Like even, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, carry on.
I was going to say we just interviewed Murph from NADPOD, and he pointed out like even in serious games,
yeah,
there's always like it seems like it's you're not going to go too long before people start laughing.
Oh yeah.
Like even if you're trying to be super dramatic and like we're characters in Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah.
We're even darker than Lord of the Rings. Like, it's serious, man. This is real. And then something stupid's going to happen. Somebody like rolls a nat one.
Yeah, isn't that
on
one?
Something. They're trying to like.
Will always be funny. Like,
exactly.
If you were at a table and a nat one is not a little bit funny, unless it's like a character death, then like, we're going to lighten this table up. We're going to lighten this table
That's
up.
When it's the funniest, Jasper.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops, you did. You done it.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Just like the fact that it's all the roll, like a roll of the dice and like the fact that I think it really also kind of helped me come out my shell like a bunch. Just because you are able to sit down at a table with people, like even if you don't know the group very well, like you're gonna make such good like such a good bond with them, just because you're gonna be goofing around and things are naturally gonna be funny and you're naturally gonna be getting to know each other. The laughs, like I said, a nat one moment that I really enjoyed was, so I have a character who's the bardiest bard you've ever met in your life.
Oh boy.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what people say when she's walking on the street. It's like, oh God, here she is. But obviously she was being cocky in a bar and she was just like, oh, hello compatriots. How about we have a toast to your honor? And she tried to down a drink and obviously rolled a nat one on the constitution saving.
Yikes.
So then proceeded to projectile vomit, even though she was just,
a single drink and she just,
straight back.
Hey, look, I've seen it happen, so I know it's not without the realms of possibility. That's happened at drama school. I've been like, my dude, one drink? Really? Okay.
They finish the drink, set the glass down, and immediately.
That's pretty much like honestly, like legitimately, I've seen that. Like, I think like especially with like high sugar drinks. Like, if you down like some of these drinks are like. They have poison in them. Like, they're not good.
Yeah.
Like, these drinks we were drinking at drama school were, like, bad. I'm talking about, like, white ace cider. You know what I mean? It was, like, the cheapest, dirtiest stuff.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Oh,
it didn't taste good. And I think
the word dirty in relation to alcohol is not encouraging.
That's the correct word. Ooh. Trust me. Ooh, it is.
No. I mean, like, this. There's a like a drinking game where you have to have a dirty pint in the middle.
Oh,
and
Ring
like,
of Fire! Love that game.
Yeah, Ring of Fire. Yeah, and you've got to get that. Like, it's basically people will pour bits of their different drinks into the middle, and then if you lose the game, you have to drink that whole thing. So that's I like to imagine it was something like that.
Some sort of concoction like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she vomited everywhere, but she happens to be a water ganassi. So I was like, oh, well, I shake water and I catch it.
Nice!
Yes!
Right? Yeah.
It's sick. Like
a competent use of that.
Literally sick.
Yeah, that's like one of the... Yeah.
Yeah. Then you safely deposit it outside the window. All is well.
All is well. As long as no one's walking by.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. I don't actually... I've never drank alcohol. And part of me... It was at my drama school graduation. I was sitting at a row of my fellow... It wasn't even the graduation ceremony. It was like our last day. And it was me and all the people on my course just hanging out at this pub in the garden. And I glanced down and there was just a row of alcoholic beverages of all sorts. And I thought to myself, I wonder how far I could make it down here before something terrible happened.
No,
like
far,
if I just down
if
every
you,
drink.
If you've never drunk before, not far, my
that
dude.
Would not happen.
Not far. Like,
yeah.
Like, it, I think that, what would happen genuinely is you would get, you'd get three or four in and be like, this is absolutely fine. What's everyone talking about?
Yeah.
And then you'd go to reach for the next one and you'd completely miss the glass. You'd be like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not in control of my...
Would I metabolize it that fast?
Like
if I'm just chugging?
If you were chugging, like, several alcoholic drinks and you've never, ever had a drink before, it hits quick.
Yeah,
like I have drank many times before, but like I could, do you know what I mean? Like if I chugged, I can still feel it if I chug a beer. Like I'll feel it after I finish. I'll be like, woohoo.
Yeah,
okay.
Because it's like an initial kind of hit, which I think is probably to do with like the fumes and, do you know what I mean? Like there's like an initial thing, and then it's usually like 20 minutes later that you really, that's when you'd be really in trouble. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's when you just completely regret it immediately. Yeah,
like, and then the next day you regret it even more.
Oh god!
So what I'm saying, Jeremy, is that you're not missing out on anything, really. It's a problem.
Exactly. Don't eat it.
Yeah. Okay. I will take your advice. I've only actually tasted one once, and it was not. It was basically, I would always drink water at these parties, and we were heading, this was my birthday. Weirdly, I had another classmate who had a birthday on a similar, like it wasn't the same day, but close to mine. And they were having a party on my birthday, and we were on the train heading to this party, which is in Soho. And I was super thirsty and I hadn't brought any bottles of water with me. So I looked over at my friend who had a bottle of what looked like water, like it was a plastic bottle. And I was like, oh, is that water?
No.
And he was like, yup. And
no.
So I was like, oh, thanks. And I took it and put it in my mouth. And I was like, this is not water.
No. This is, I hope you punched that so-called friend.
I spat it into my hand and like, it like vanished weirdly. Like I spat it in my hand
probably
and
some
flicked
high,
it and
that
it
was
never
high
seen
alcohol.
Again.
That was
like
some,
it didn't even splash.
Oh, wow.
That was some cheap vodka, probably, I'm guessing.
Apparently it was gin.
Drinking straight gin out of a plastic bottle?
Yeah.
Who was this? Have you made sure they're okay now? Like, can we do a welfare check of some description?
I haven't spoken to them in a while, so I don't know.
Wow.
I hope they're still okay.
Wow. Straight
but yeah, that was a strong dick move. Strong dick move. Yeah.
I've done a shot of gin on occasion, and it is truly terrible. It's mostly like a dare.
Gin you have to swirl around your mouth to adjust to the taste because your body's like, no.
What does it taste like? Is it like sour, bitter? What are we looking at here?
Once you've adjusted to it, I'd probably say it's a bit more, it's not like as harsh as, it's actually quite like, it's made out of junipers, I think, is like the main thing. So most gins, to be fair, don't have a great deal of flavor unless they're infused with something. But when they are infused, they can be quite nice. So, you know, it's definitely not my favorite. Whiskey's my thing. So, you know.
Yeah, I know. Same over here.
Yes. Nice. Okay. We'll meet up for a whiskey at some point. I'm seeing how this is going.
Let's go.
Let's do this. Anyway, we should carry on talking about D&D. Although genuinely, this does remind me, as a good segue, I definitely still want to do shit-faced D&D at some point.
I'm trying to DM it, and everybody else is drunk.
I think either everyone else is drunk, or just the DM is drunk, and the players.
Oh my gosh.
So like, I'd get drunk, and you guys would all try and keep me on the rails.
I have played with a drunk DM before.
Well, what was it like?
Yeah,
it was actually pretty fun.
Really
well. Yeah, I think it would go pretty well. I think I would get to a point where I'd be like, meh, the rules.
Yeah, he was a good DM is the thing.
Oh.
So he was not liable to go completely.
I'm not talking about you.
I'm saying
the difference between you and this guy, Jesper, is he was a
that's
good
not,
DM.
That is in no,
is,
there was there was
that
no implied comparison.
That came out.
Yeah, apologies.
He's drunk DMing. Is your normal DM?
He managed to. He whilst drunk, he he got down to your baseline.
Oh, this is just like playing with Jasper. No, apologies. That I did not mean to imply any comparison. He was what I essentially was saying was he is a good DM in general. Like, yeah. From what I can tell, a very good DM. Shout out to Jacob. I don't know if you listen to the show, but hey.
Hey, Jacob.
But I imagine that if he was just some like shoot from the hip, loose cannon, like utter mess of a DM on a regular basis, that drunk would just be like complete disaster.
Oof.
Yeah.
So this brought him down to just like freewheeling with a little bit of chaos.
Sure.
And was like, ooh, this is fun.
Yeah.
And there were still like puzzles and stuff.
Yeah. I see these. I can imagine that happening though, because I could imagine myself getting quite like fixated, do you know what I mean, and being like you know what I mean, like, and like, but like not really caring about the rules, so making the puzzle like insanely hard, like you need to type the word, I don't know, you need to spell out some ridiculously long word in Elvish, and I would just give you no clues. You know what I mean?
And you like, just looked it up behind the screen as we're playing.
Yeah.
It's like one of Tolkien's Elvish languages that no one else
has. I'll just hand you like an Elven alphabet and be like, there you go.
Proceed.
That's it. That's the clue you get.
I think you'd have something to prove as well. Just like, haha, you think this is going to be easy because I'm drunk?
Yeah.
No.
Beholder! Beholder! Tarrasque! Tiamat! Let's go! Roll initiative!
You turn into DM Oprah. You get a beholder! You get a beholder! Check under your chairs! Everyone gets a beholder!
But you also get legendary weapons! Woo! It's like, Jasper, we're level three. I physically can't carry this. And Olivia, you were just telling us about Dicebreaker. And so you'd actually suggested today talking a little bit about board games, because it's a bit of a love and a passion of yours. And obviously you cover a lot of that stuff over on Dicebreaker, which is very cool.
I will forget every single board game that ever exists now, but yes, I do.
naturally, that is the case.
Yeah, we just end up talking about Monopoly for the next 30 minutes.
Yes, the nuances of Monopoly, actually.
There's an actual reason why people get so damn angry when you beat them at Monopoly. So I'm going to kick this off with a little question, if I may, because me and my fiance Jade we love a good board game. It's one of our go-tos on a crazy wild weekend. We're like, hey, let's go to the nerd shop and get ourselves a new board game and sit down and down some gin out of a plastic bottle whilst we play this new game. During lockdown, actually, we ended up buying quite a few. So what would be your recs for just like couples? Because I think that's like such a good thing, I think, for couples to do. It's like an easy thing you can pick up and do, and it's better than just playing Scrabble all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, completely.
A bad game, by the way. I like Scrabble. Just want to flag that. Scrabble's
no.
Three Black Halflings wishes to make sure that
indoor Scrabble.
Yeah, yeah. We
this
have no
episode problems. Sponsored by Scrabble.
By Scrabble?
That would be so weird if we got an email from Scrabble being like, we listen to your show and we just feel like this is the content that we want to represent our product.
We have never endorsed anyone before, but you.
They're releasing a new Scrabble expansion. They're adding Esperanto, and they'd love for us to advertise it on our show.
They're adding Utarum and all the words of Utarum.
All the languages of D&D are being added to Scrabble now.
Honestly, like, you joke, but I'm surprised.
I'm actually kind of surprised that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Like a Klingon expansion or something like that. Like, there's so many Trekkie fans out there.
Yo, okay, we're going to cut this out of the episode because I just sent myself a little email to Hasbro because pretty sure we just landed on but that was a landmine we just uncovered here.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Playing on Scrabble.
But yeah, no, there are a bunch of really good board games for couples, two-player ones. I would say that, have you ever played Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective?
No,
this already. I'm already. My ears.
Yeah, Jeremy did not
physically
so
prick up, but I thought about like, ooh.
Yeah, like that. That's one that I adore. It kind of like also takes the whole like aspect of, because I feel like there are a bunch of good role play and board games to play if you love role playing. Mm. Like for example, this that board game, basically you take up the role of basically what is like Sherlock Holmes interns. So you're just kind of like,
oh, this is great.
Right. So you're basically just kind of like, Sherlock will literally go off to, he'll get a case and he'll be like, right, I'm going to go off and solve this. You give it a go. See if you can, you know, like, just like, have at it. And you're like, oh, okay, Mr. Sherlock, okay.
That's in the script that you have to read.
I like, that, I like that we have to address him as Mr. Sherlock. Not Mr. Holmes, it's Mr. Sherlock.
Yeah,
Mr. Sherlock.
Mr. Yeah, Holmes was my father.
Yeah. call me Mr. Sherlock.
But yeah, basically it's you do kind of feel that way because it feels like it's been nicknamed Sherlock Holmes insulting detective because you get to the end,
oh, wow,
and basically he runs through everything you missed, and it makes you feel
so like, stupid,
so like such an idiot. It's so bad. So like basically, like you have to try it. Like you go around the city of London, and you're like trying to visit various leads. Like you can go to Lestrade and just be like, oh hey, what do you think of this, like have you got any leads, blah blah blah. You can go to like the witnesses, you can go mm-hmm. to like suspects, blah blah blah. But you're trying along to kind of like beat whatever Sherlock's doing. So you get to the end and it says like how many leads Sherlock visited. He'll visit like three. And like we'll have done the entire, like I play this with my girlfriend and we mm-hmm. visited like the entire, like everyone in London. We've like gone to their door and been like, oh, hello, do you have any insight, please? Mr. Sherlock will be so displeased. but yeah, so you get to the end and like Sherlock kind of like does the whole like, oh well, you know, I figured out by visiting this person that obviously it had to be this and blah blah blah. And either you'll be like, okay, yeah, I did a pretty good job considering the circumstances, or you'll be like, oh, I'm gonna quit. I'm so sorry.
I still don't know what the answer is. Even the answer is complicated.
Are these pre-published like cases? And so you are just you and whoever you're playing with are just going through the case and like flipping over cards or stuff like or drawing things like that?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like choose your own adventure kind of. Yeah, so basically like you get to, yeah, it's really cool because you have like a list of like everyone who might be a possible place you could visit. And so you'll be like, oh, we've got this name, and then you'll have to like look it up on the directory and be like, oh, they're like at this address, is that address available in the booklet? Oh, it is. So we get to go there and like read out like this whole new block of information. And it's a whole lot of fun. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, that sounds
very
sick.
Cool. Yeah, well,
I'm a big fan of this game already. I haven't even played it, but I'm already into it.
I think we're big fans of escape rooms, me and James.
Oh my God,
so like we one of our genuinely mm-hmm. one of our proudest moments as a couple, like we up in Manchester here, we came second on a leaderboard. Just the two of us in an escape room. Like we got out and the guy was like, you two have done this before. We were like, no, not this room. And he was like, that was crazy. And like, like first on the list was like this like professional company that comes around and like cracks escape rooms.
Wow.
And then it was us. For like a full month or something, there was just our names a second on this list. We were so proud. It was, we got out in like 35 minutes or something wild. We were just like, yeah, oh, bam, bam. But yeah, we've got a good duo going. Like,
yeah, I would never stop telling people I would like constantly
now it's on your Twitter bio.
Yeah.
It'd be how we introduce you to the show.
Yeah, from now on, maybe I will do. Hello, halflings. Yeah. I'm Jasper William Cartwright, and I once beat the Samurai Escape Room in Escape Pod Manchester in 35 minutes and 42 seconds.
Wow.
And I am joined today by...
I actually... it's funny you guys mentioned escape rooms. I work for an escape room. It's an online escape room. Yeah, Jasper, cool. Did you ever do it?
I don't think I've done it.
I don't think you did.
No.
Dude, it's really fun. It's called Agent Venture. I'm just going to shout it out because it's a good game.
Yeah.
It's called Agent Venture. The premise is that you are part of Mission Control and you are trying to stop the evil BAD Corporation from carrying out their evil plans. And essentially...
Jerry, that smells bad.
Whoa, I never thought of that.
There is a genuinely a part of me that loves the idea that Jeremy hadn't thought of that, because that would be so funny.
I've just been reading all the instructions for the game and I just was reading BAD in my head.
Jeremy reads things super literally. It's like Ron Burgundy. Yeah. If it's got a dot in between the letters, he can't connect the two things.
I say B dot A dot D.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what it's called.
D dot.
Oh, and then you need the last dot. D dot.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like you guys are Mission Control. So each person gets sorted into a different role. You got your hacker, you got your communicator, you got your navigator. Potentially you can have a coordinator or you can have a researcher. If you have a team of five, you have a coordinator, but the main four are hacker, navigator, researcher, and communicator. Mm-hmm. And basically like the GM plays all the other parts. Cool. Including like they play Mission Control, they play Agent Venture, who's the person you're trying to help. They play all of the villains and everybody you can call and contact and talk to. You guide Agent Venture through the environment to try and like avoid traps and move things out of their way and stuff like that. It's a really fun game. You guys should do it.
Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah. It's funny because one of the things I introduced to Dicebreaker that I'm like super proud of is Dice Breakout, which is a series where we go to escape rooms and we try to beat the record time.
Whoa.
Sick.
Yeah. It's we haven't done it yet, and we may never. But if we were to do it just once, it'd be crazy. Mm. It'd blow everyone's minds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh,
have you come close?
No, not at all. The last one we did was we've been to like a couple of local Brighton escape rooms because like we're in Brighton.
Woo! That's where my mum lives. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Friends. Yeah.
Yeah. I know your
mum. She was
personally.
Just over.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Whoa, mum. What? You're there? You're at Olivia's
house. Appears in the Zoom call.
Like, okay. Okay. Cool. Like I haven't seen you in a while. Like you're not coming up till next weekend, but you never round to Olivia's house. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, she's busy right now, but she says hi.
Okay, so. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, cool.
She's playing Sherlock Holmes. Consulting detective.
Oh, well, you've got to go, Olivia, to go play. Okay, sure. You're going to play Sherlock Holmes with my mum? Okay, fine. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. You understand, right?
Yeah. Fine.
The rest of the episode. The rest of the episode is a recording of the two of you playing. Yeah. We're just not even in it.
Yeah, the worst part is we've just queued up like at least two people tweeting saying please let Olivia play with Jasper's mom on Three Black Goblins.
Yes.
Look, she was playing. What was I saying? Oh yeah, we were doing Escape Room Brighton, where basically you've been taken to a bunker and there's a missile that is apparently going to hit Brighton. Not really, but obviously it's the drama of the game. You know?
Imagine targeting Brighton. You know what I mean? Like that is quite hilarious. Like for the American listeners or anyone who hasn't visited Brighton before, it's just like a really nice seaside city. Like there's nothing. There is literally nothing offensive there. It's like, it's all, it's the closest
it's
thing
quaint.
To like, yeah, it's quaint. It's like all
it's
vegan
quaint and
restaurants.
Gay. Those are the two, those are the two adjectives
vegan.
That
yeah,
I can,
super
that
vegan,
to...
gay capital of the
and
UK,
super gay.
Like mm-hmm. big, so, yeah. So maybe if you really, really didn't like gay people, that's the only thing I can think of.
Oh no!
I mean, oh God. honestly, if that was the goal of targeting Brian, yeah, no, I could see why they would go for that.
You're now fighting homophobes in the game.
Yeah.
That's fine. Let's all take up arms. I'm ready. Let's go. Let's fight.
It's a more righteous game. A more righteous game.
Yeah.
Everyone making fight in Brighton. Brighton.
Oh. Brighton. In Brighton.
Oh.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. But yeah, there's a middle. I mean, I guess also if you were trying to like make a splash, but you didn't want to directly like target the middle of the UK, right on the edge. Mm. Like that's where Brighton is.
Yeah, like depth charges to try and cause like a tsunami or something.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All makes sense now.
Yeah. Now we know that plan.
Yeah, got it. but yeah, so we had to just try and like we were split up into two rooms. One of my team, Alex Meehan, had never done an escape room before, so obviously we decided to stick her in the different part of the room on her own. that was intelligent. Myself and Wheels were in the other part of the room, and we're both really bad at paying attention to things, so
part of the reason why you have never beaten the record. I don't mean to be critical, I'm just like paying attention to things is like kind of up there on the list. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I have this whole thing of like, I can play games and I can do really well at them as long as I'm not on camera. When I'm on camera, I can't strategize. I don't get lucky, nothing. So like we were playing a game today where I absolutely smashed it and like I like beat the rest of the team by like 30 points and like we talked them up at the end. And then we played The Thing board game.
Like the movie? Like John Carpenter's The Thing?
Whoa.
Oh man. I am so on board for this game.
You're getting Jeremy unreasonably hyped about these board games. You mentioned The Thing and Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. That's like a combination. Exactly.
Sherlock
yeah.
Holmes, you had my attention. Mm-hmm. Now you have my curiosity.
Now it's peaked.
Oh, wait, no, you had my curiosity. Now you have my attention. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The Thing is, oh, man, I love that movie.
Jeremy references The Thing, I reckon, every 3 to 4 episodes. There'll be a reference, some reference to The Thing. It is a great movie.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. I mean, I'm a sucker for horror. Like anything horror, I'm like all about it. And I play a bunch of horror board games as well. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, The Thing, sidetracking onto that for a moment, we played that today. I was obviously The Thing. I was The Thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so is that part of the game? Right, you don't know who is The Thing. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Like Mafia. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, Mafia, like werewolf. Yeah, so there's like a hidden role element. So at the very start, like you're given a blood sample and you either get one that says you are not infected for now, or you get one, very intriguing, or you get one that's like, hey, you're infected. And I was like, yes, that makes sense. Yes, of course it did me. So I'm really bad at keeping my cool. They did figure it out and they did figure out it was me towards the end. But yeah, you have to go around, you have to defeat, you know, different versions of The Thing, like the head, the spider head version, the spoilers for The Thing, by the way.
Yeah. To be fair, we already did a horror movie episode where we talked about some of our favorite horror movies. I'm just going to bring this up because because I only just recently realized it before that episode was I had not realized the metaphorical aspect of The Thing, which is like coming out in the early 80s in the midst of the AIDS epidemic, a movie about a bunch of men trapped together. There's an infection that none of them understand that's being passed from person to person. No one knows exactly how it's passed, but you can't be alone with anybody else. It's like, dang.
Damn. Yeah. It's like, wow. It's super cool.
Jeremy will enjoy this. Just on that game, like Mafia, there's like a lot of versions, I think, of that like secret thing. And we played this game on Butterfly Lion called Secret Hitler, which is effectively the same thing where you basically there's people in like Hitler's like party or whatever, like this sort of council or whatever. And then there's a Hitler as well. And you basically have to try and figure out who they are. And each round you go through and you vote someone off, etc. It's very fun. We played this game probably once or twice a week for like a good couple weeks whilst our director was around, and I was never Hitler once, not once. I wasn't even a part of the secret council-y thing.
Good for
you. I was, exactly. Yeah. I was always.
Congratulations on never being a Nazi.
Always, always one of the good guys. And our director on the show, shout out to Jess.
I'm sure she listens to this.
Was Hitler nearly every time.
Oh.
But because the thing is, after like the second or third time, I was getting. Like, she was so damn good at this game.
Yeah.
I was getting so worked up because I was like, how has this happened again? Because I think I had this, like, ability where I could, like, see for sure. Like, there's, like, a one of the abilities that, like, you can look at someone else's card. And I was like, it's Jess. And I've never, and it went on for weeks.
And you always got killed, right?
Yeah, I always got killed because everyone went, well, obviously it's him. Like, look how much he's protesting. And I'm like, I honestly felt like I was going insane. I was like, no, this can't be happening again. Every time I'd look over my card, I was just desperate to see the word Hitler.
It's because she's so laid back and unsuspecting.
Yeah.
And you're so outspoken that it's just like, no one.
And I think it got to a point where everyone went, statistically, it's almost impossible now.
Yeah. It's gotta be you at this
point. It's not the other way around. So surely this time it is. But never, literally never once. And I think she was literally the good guy like once out of like 20 games. And I was never Hitler once. I was desperate to see the word Hitler on that piece of card.
Yeah.
like that's how bad
you know
it
you've
got.
Fallen far.
That's how bad it got. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm always so eager to recommend Secret Hitler to people, but like if you have know nothing about it and you have no context for it, it's just like, why would you recommend this to me? What?
that sounds horrible.
You don't understand. It's about killing Hitler. We're trying to kill Hitler and all of his cabinet.
But no, it is a really genuinely a good game. Very simple. Very simple. Very easy to pick up. It will definitely get you like riled up on game night because it's it's a fun one for sure.
Yeah.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Halflings, I would like to thank our sponsor for today, Factor. With the busy season fast approaching, you might be on the lookout for some wholesome, convenient meals for a jam-packed packed days. I know that I do. One of my favorite things about having a ready-to-eat meal kit is the fact that I get a nice variety to my diet. It is so easy when you're busy and you're trying to look for nutritious food to eat to just eat the same things over and over again. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Factor is here to help you. Skip the next trip to the grocery store, all the chopping and prepping and cleaning too, whilst getting all the flavor, nutrition, and quality that you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. All you have to do is heat and enjoy and get back to crushing your day. You can choose from over 34 flavor-packed meals per week, and the Calorie Smart meals come in at less than 550 calories per serving. And if you need a little extra boost in the day, there is an assortment of 45-plus add-ons that you can snack on, including breakfast items, including apple cinnamon pancakes, or as we like to call it, second breakfast. And just in case you need any more convincing, Factor offsets 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for all of their production sites and offices. Head over to factormeals.com/halflings50 and use the code halflings50 to get 50% off. That's the code halflings50 at factormeals.com/halflings50 to get 50% off. You are so welcome. Enjoy your tasty, nutritious meals for half price. Go now. What are you doing? Go. Run. Go get the meals. Go.
Can I make a suggestion, yeah, by the way, Olivia? An escape room suggestion for Dicebreaker.
Ooh, absolutely, yes.
It's on the South Coast. There's a little bit of travelling. But in Southampton, okay, I think it is called Elysium Rooms.
Elysium Rooms, okay.
So I think that's how you... Or Illusion, no, it's spelled with an E. It's like Illusion spelled with an E, I think.
Okay.
So like Illusion, maybe.
Ooh, okay.
But
like it's dodging things, like elude.
Yes, that's kind of how it's spelled, but without the D, whatever. But the first ever escape room I did is in there, and it's called Seven Sins. And if you like horror, it is...
I do.
I'm not going to ruin anything or spoil anything.
Okay.
But for just to give a slight a little setup for the audience at home, so you kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about here. You get led into the basement of the escape rooms. There's only like one door down there and a little like computer setup thing for the person who sat outside and watching and making sure everyone's okay. I actually did this with Johnny. Shout out to Johnny, resident bard, who played Budge. It was during Warhorse, and you got handcuffed. Like they were like, you know, plastic handcuffs, or whatever. You got handcuffed and blindfolded.
No,
yeah, they did. Oh, they very much were like, you don't have to do this. If you feel uncomfortable, that's fine. You get led into a room, right, and your handcuffs then get tied to like a chain that's like on the ceiling or whatever around the room. And then there is you're not allowed to take your mask off, and there is a like evil person monologue, and it basically you lift your eyes up and you are straight up in a Saw movie. Yeah. I was absolutely bricking, and like there are like three extra rooms outside of that main room. Like it goes all kinds of places. Like every time you're like, oh, this is just going to be like a normal thing, you'd be like, oh, I can go in there? No. And honestly, I think it was like four guys and one girl did it. Genuinely, there was one point where all four guys were on the floor, hands over their heads, like genuinely squealing. Because there was something happened and we were like, and like drops to the floor. Like it was so good.
The idea of that was your very first thing.
Yeah.
It was so fun. Oh my God.
And then it was like an added element as well, because it wasn't just getting out. You also had to find these little vials of antidote, because each of you had been like poisoned. And so you had to have like two vials of antidote in order
to get
out.
That's also part of the game.
Yeah. That was actually real. That was the scary part about that.
They have you drink straight gin for a while. And then they're giving you antidotes.
There is no antidote for drinking straight gin. You've got to live with the the consequences, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Maybe just like down some water for a while. It still
it's still not going to fix it.
No.
But yeah.
But no, I'm looking at it now, and it's super cool. Yeah. Yes.
I think I've only done like one haunted house. It's not really my thing. I didn't find it particularly scary.
Jeremy, I'll take you to Southampton, my dude. We can do this escape room together. I think you might find it a bit scary.
Mm-hmm. I will say I went to a thing called Shocktober. Near Brighton.
No way!
Tully's Farm?
Yes, Tully's Farm. I used to work there. I did two things there. Oh man, this is wild. No, yeah, I did like Hayrides and Hellemont's. My friend scared the crap out of Jonathan Ross once, which was absolutely hilarious because he had like the funniest reaction noise I've ever heard in my life. But yeah, it's
what
great.
Was it? Can you imitate
Tully's
it on
Farm? It was kind of a bit like like high-pitched and slightly like it was just like disgruntled as opposed to alarmed. It was like it was like a two-tone like that kind of, you know, that was the kind of thing. Yeah, it was yeah. Odd. But anyway, it was very
sounds
funny.
More vexed than anything.
Yeah, yeah, but he was genuinely very scared. Like he looked alarmed on his face.
Yeah.
Tully's. Yeah. Shout out to Tully's. Great. It's really good.
Super fun. Yeah, went there recently, Halloween time, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah, we went to Hellemont's, which is, you know, you have a bag over your head. Sounds mm-hmm. similar to the escape room you were talking about, but
you
just go through. Yeah, no. Mm. I've got to go there. I've got to see how bad it is. Yeah. Tully's is very scary and fun.
Yeah, no, Tully's was great. Why don't we let's round this off with a couple more board game suggestions for people. They don't have to be two player. They can be anything. They can be any number of players. But some mm-hmm. cool recs, some fun games that you've played recently.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like if you like kind of long form RPG play, I can recommend Eldritch Horror. Which is something like one that I put on a list recently, which is like a very difficult board game. I'm a glutton for punishment. But it's based around like kind of Call of Cthulhu, that kind of whole lore and everything. You basically have to try and save the world from like an eldritch being. And you are like rolling dice to make it happen, and you are an investigator and you have to solve mysteries and like find clues, and you're going around like the whole world to try and do that. And it's extremely frustrating because like there will be countless obstacles against you. I'm not making it sound very good, but
it just sounds really difficult and scary.
It's very difficult and scary. Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like when you get a win from it, it's like it's so much fun. But even when you like, you know, when you like lose,
fail, and the world is plunged into eternal darkness,
yeah,
it's still fun. Okay, yeah. Well,
it's like those old school kids movies that used to be a lot scarier, but like when at the end, the happy ending felt really earned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I used to turn a lot of those films off.
They're terrifying.
No, but I used to like get to the happy point and then pause it and just pretend that that was what happened for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
I consistently did that.
Wow.
There's a video online of this dude who took Toy Story 3 and edited the first time he showed it to his mom, he edited the movie so that
it ends as
they're all just holding hands and sinking down. They're like holding hands and it sinks, and then it cuts to credits, and then it plays like a really sad version of You've Got a Friend in Me.
That is actually horrific.
Wow.
That is some strong chaos energy. I don't think I could ever do that to my mom. Olivia knows the relationship that me and my mom have too well.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that to
my mom. Never stop talking about it. Yeah. No, cheap. I know how much it would really hurt.
Yeah, that is bad enough. Like Toy Story 3 is bad enough. Like
that movie goes hard.
It really does. Like of that movie shreds you in. Like if you don't feel a little loosening of the old tear ducts, At the end of that movie, you do not have a soul, I'm afraid.
I graduated from high school the year that movie came out. Wow. So, like, that was like, oh my gosh.
I could not have been more relevant.
Like, exactly. I literally grew up with Andy, and it was just like...
Did you, I can just imagine it as well, that like in that moment, because I think I did a similar thing where I suddenly had like this horrendous like out of body experience where I like looked in my like attic at like a box, and like, do you know what I mean? And was just like, oh, they're just there, like they're just doing nothing. Oh gosh, oh man.
Yeah, I recently showed the trilogy to a friend of mine. She loves Disney movies, but has never seen the Toy Stories.
That's
she had never seen the Toy Stories.
That you've managed to not watch Toy Stories.
I was stunned. That was why we immediately we stopped watching other movies and immediately had to start watching Toy Story. Yeah, sure. And I think Toy Story 3 is not only my favorite of the three, but it like it goes so hard.
Favorite
it goes so hard. Like, and I had forgotten how good everything leading up to the ending was. Mm. Right off the bat, there's just so many good things in that movie.
Yeah.
Very funny. The little I love that. Oh, what's the name? Buster, I think it is. Buster is just elderly now. He's like, come on, and like he comes in, and he's just like this. His little belly is dragging the ground because he's so old and decrepit and sleepy.
So cute.
Yeah.
Very good.
Hey, talk about hard pivot. Did everyone see that Buzz Lightyear trailer? What?
Yo.
No, what is this?
You not seen it?
They're coming. You haven't seen this?
Please wait. Let's get a link for Olivia. We can.
Yes. This is how we need to live watch this.
We can. We can live watch because you amazing. Think. There's a Buzz Lightyear movie, right? Exciting.
Okay.
And
it's you pull that up and I'll pull up. You know what?
So oh yes, also please. Show her that.
What do you mean? You know what?
You'll see.
Okay, here we go.
Get ready. This is gonna
here
be
we go.
Great.
It's in the chat right now.
In the chat. Let's go.
Okay. Open up, but don't press play yet.
We'll watch this together.
Okay.
I guess.
We'll press it together at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Let me know when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm just waiting for the reveal. I'm excited for the to get your reaction. Just let us know how you're feeling throughout this, Olivia.
All right, sure. It'll be
should we give it the old?
Good. Are we all good?
Should we
all good to go?
Should we give it the old 3, 2, 1?
Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1 to infinity and beyond.
Okay.
Look at that tight little. Oof, he's fitting in that suit.
Wow.
Looks.
I love how good the animation looks.
It's incredible. The animation.
I'm pretty sure I've been on that roller coaster. Space Mountain. Like,
but look at him.
Yeah,
it's so real. It is.
This movie is about the guy who was the inspiration for the Buzz Lightyear character.
Is that what this is?
Yeah. Okay. This movie is about like the real life Buzz Lightyear in the Toy Story universe. So he was the guy who inspired the character.
Wow. They can really make a film out of anything, can't they? Disney?
They really can.
Oh, and they turned Starman into a trailer song.
That was the moment where it was just very real Buzz Lightyear just looking pensively out of a window. That was what evoked that reaction.
Oh, God. A strong chin.
Yeah.
Some would say too strong for a human.
The thing that people keep pointing out online is how much this dude is like, this guy drinks Budweiser, loves a good barbecue, has American flags outside of his house. This guy has a truck, maybe has two trucks, given how much he clearly gets paid.
I love that they stuck in a black friend.
Yeah, they've got
him.
They were like, oh, wait, Buzz looks like a American trucker. That's not the vibe entirely we want to go for.
Okay, I'm gonna start. I'm gonna show you something, Olivia.
Yes. Okay. I'm afraid, but
you shouldn't be. This is
I'll
delightful. This is delightful. Check this out. I'm gonna share screen.
So for everyone at home, we are getting a combination of Jeremy's favorite ever meme. Like, I've never heard Jeremy laugh like he did. And we have Viz Sean. For all of you that don't know Viz Sean, we'll have to try and find a link.
Vishon is somebody took an image from, I think it's the finale of WandaVision, and basically edited in.
Because he's wearing like, this black turtleneck in the episode. So they've edited in this thick gold chain, big old bling watch, and a full do-rag on Vision.
And called him Vishon.
I think that's Vision, but is it?
And then next to this image, we now have this new, very real Buzz Lightyear with the full, I don't know,
that's Drake hair.
It's a Drake, Drake hairdo.
That's Drake hair.
We're zooming in. Drake hairdo and a good black beard and mustache combo.
And he's got the earrings.
And some very bling earrings. Oh, he's got a little chain underneath. He's got a little bling underneath the thing, and this is lovingly referred to as Buzz Lightskin.
Yes. Which is, it says, I guess Vishon walked so Buzz Lightskin could soar. Oh, that is a 10 out of 10 meme.
Oh, wow.
Somebody else had a really, really good, they called him Cuz Lightskin.
Cuz Lightskin. Yo, that is too much.
It's beautiful.
Vishon is just, man, it's too funny.
It never fails to make me happy.
It's really, really, really quite funny. It's like one of the only times I would find it acceptable for only one white person to dress in such a way. Because if Paul Bettany did that for Halloween, I would die. Like, I would the best thing is that normally with that meme is accompanied the tagline Wagwan Miwanda, and it just makes me die.
Like, this is another good one.
It makes me die.
No!
This one says he is half Wakandan. I love Black Twitter. There's one of him in a hat, in a Pan-African style, like African hat, with gold chains.
The Mind Stone starts to look like bling, bling. It's, oh man.
There was one where the caption said, "Nah, man, me and Wanda don't talk no more."
Disney are missing a trick. If there is not some reference to this in the second WandaVision series.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so
good. Oh, the other one was, I don't need a witch. A witch need me. That was another good one. What is drip if not swag persevering? So good.
Wow. And the thing is, this is what I love. Mm-hmm. Only on this show will you go from board games to Vishon to Cuz Lightskin.
There's one more I have to share because this is a thing of beauty. Okay.
Cuz Lightskin is one of my
This is the last thing
actually.
I'm going to share. Yeah. Cuz Lightskin is amazing. So this one is somebody.
I'm pretty sure that's just like a. That's actually. Somebody... I think that's actually a picture of Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande put as each other. Both those people have appropriated at some point. Like, let's
somebody
be real.
Took the Vishon meme and stuck it next to an image of Wanda for WandaVision with dreadlocks in her hair, having been edited into her hair, and it just says "Black Love."
I mean. The black heart as well, kind of.
Yes, the black heart. That's so good.
Oh, Jeremy, can you make sure you save all of these, please? Because we will be putting links to these in the description below so that you can check these out because they're just too funny.
Man.
Thank you so much for bringing these to my attention. I was lacking beforehand.
Yes.
Jaw, my actual jaw is missing now. Olivia,
should we do a tale from the table?
Yes, I was going to say, please save me from having to talk anymore. We get from you, as we do with all of our guests, a tale from the table? It can be anything wild, hilarious, heartfelt, anything from the table that jumps out to you as a story you'll remember forever.
Sure. Okay. We had one recently. Once again, this is the bard that is the super bardy bard.
What's the name of the bard? Of the bard?
Delta.
Amazing. Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
Does she sing when she casts spells, out of curiosity?
I always imagine her delivering like a one-liner, and then that's kind of like her magical process. But she can also sing. I had her do like, because she's a College of Glamour bard, and they get enthralling performance. So I had her do an interpretive dance for a minute. That was her enthralling performance. You know, like, just, it's all about making it work, you know, just like doing what you get. Mm. She's got a whole backstory going on. So I'm going to try and keep it short. Basically, her brother passed away. This is the part of, like, the D&D background where it's like, oh, it's a tragic backstory. And, like, you know, when it comes up, you're like, oh, I can't talk about it, but they absolutely will. So her brother passed away. She blames herself. But her younger sister and her are still really close. Her sister needed to, like, get away. And so she... faked her own death. And so Delta was like, oh my god, I've lost two siblings who I really love. But then turns out she faked her death. It was all fine. But that led to kind of like an emotional reunion where she realized her sister was alive. But her sister also turned up with two little baby water ganassi, two little twins. And Delta was an aunt. And so I was like, oh my god, she's an aunt now. And whoa. So it was like real tears just flowing, and she was like, oh, I've named one of them after their brother who passed away. And it was like, oh my god.
That DM knew what they were doing. That DM was like, oh, your feels? Ha ha! Full throat punch to your feels. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shout out to my DM.
Getting choked up after that throat punch.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I was not fine for days.
man.
At least that's the great thing about working in a nerdy place, right? You can go in and actually explain that. If I went into my office tomorrow, like, looked a bit sad and they were like, what happened? And I'd be like, right, so in my game, okay, my imaginary sister came back and she had twins and she named one of them after my dead brother. And they were like, wait, does this happen in real? No, this is all in the game. No. We played last night, we played Dungeons and Dragons. Like, they would be like,
We're going to talk to HR.
But you're actually crying. And I'm like, yes. And then that night we'll get them playing and then they'll all be crying and then they'll get it. That's how it goes.
It's a process.
It is a process.
Exactly. It's like the epitome of you had to be there.
Yes, it really is. It really is. Mm-hmm. What I think is so nice about the Tales from the Table is that I think that all being D&D players, we can all imagine ourselves in that position, and the idea of that moment would be crushing. I'd be like, oh god, oh no, don't look at me. I'm gonna cry.
Like, it was one of those moments where, like, you know, like the DM and like other players were just like checking in afterwards, like, hey, are you okay? That was really emotional. Or like, are you good? And it was like, thank you for checking in. I'm okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, they're the best. Gil still can't even talk.
Yeah. They're the best one.
ugly sobbing.
Yeah.
Have you guys, as adults, had the cry where you have the...
Yeah.
Because it seems to be a big kid thing. It's like kids always have that, but like it seems like adults don't have the as often.
I will be completely transparent. I've never had it about something actually sad, right? Like, actually sad. Like, it's never been like a grievance. Like, you know what I mean? I've never been like grieving for someone and then that's happened. I've just cried. Yeah. I feel like when I'm actually like really quite upset about something, I'm like a very quiet crier. I'm just there, steely face, staring out the window and just streaming.
The pretty dramatic crier.
Very dramatic crier. But
brooding crier.
I will be 100% honest and say me and Jade went to watch Coco one day. And we had like the cinema to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of the reason is that we knew we weren't being observed because there was literally no one else at the cinema. It was like a 12 o'clock screening. And I cannot express to you the noises that we were. It was pathetic. We were like... It was like as soon as he started singing Remember Me, I was like, like, it was genuinely, I was like, I felt like my heart ached. Like, it was so bad. I was like,
that movie feels like Pixar is just showing off. That's the one where I was like,
oh, come on.
Come on, guys. Tears. tears streaming, and I'm just like, come on.
I like to think that I'm like good at like picking up on like, you know, the plot twist and whatever. But I was convinced that like it came completely out of left field for me, and I was like, how? Wait, my head is spinning.
And that was and I think that was the thing, is that we went through the same emotional journey as Coco, and I was like, oh boy. Oh boy. And the thing is, if you have any issues with your family, anything even tangentially related, you like that film is like, oh, by the way, remember that like one aunt to, let alone if you've got like a parent or anything that close, but even a cousin, you'll be thinking of, like, it's just, oh man, wow. Like,
Remember Me is actually sung from the perspective of your own trauma. Like, Remember Me.
Oh, oh no.
Oh God, here it comes.
That's,
A good movie, a good movie. But on that note, if you haven't watched Coco, by the way, listener, we know who you are. Go watch it. Be prepared. Whatever your comfort food is, have that in the microwave ready to go, because you are going to need it.
Yeah.
We went.
They just make it. They make it look easy.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by showing off. Yeah. They're just like, we can do whatever we want for the rest of the movie.
What's that?
And then we'll just make you cry.
You don't think as a mixed race kid who grew up in rural white England, you're gonna have any relation to a little Mexican kid? Bam! Like, it was...
You know, and you'll thank us for it after.
Exactly.
And you'll keep coming back for more.
Every single time.
Yeah, little, you're right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's truly, it's like, it really is like they have some sort of, like, device. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they just know how to do it. They cracked it, man.
Yeah,
they've
got a formula and it works. You know what I mean?
Have you seen the movie Zodiac? Have either of you seen the movie Zodiac?
No, but it's weird. I like, saw that in a list, like, on YouTube recently, and I was like, why haven't I watched Zodiac?
It's a phenomenal movie. Really phenomenal movie.
Is that Robert Downey Jr. one?
Robert Downey Jr. is in it. It's when he was still on the comeback trail.
Oh, and Jake Gyllenhaal is that
Jake Gyllenhaal is the lead. Mark Ruffalo's in it. Robert Downey Jr. is in it. All pre MCU, wildly.
Strong cast.
But it's about
it's
the
canon
search. It's about the search for the real life Zodiac killer. It's based on an actual book by I think a journalist. A journalist who was he was a cartoonist who then did tons of research and to try and figure out who the Zodiac killer was. And there is a sequence in that movie. Now, David Fincher, the director of that movie, had previously had directed Fight Club. He directed The Game. He directed Panic Room. He directed Seven.
Oh, wow.
Like, this dude knows how to make a movie. And there's a sequence in the movie where there's like, they start to, it's like, it's raining. We're going to a remote location at night. There's like a revelation of like an offhand revelation of like, there's basement. And there's that rings with like a key thing. And the character's like, not many people in California have basements. Mm. And it's like, oh, come on. And then they start like listing, and then you start hear creaking sounds. And then there's like, I did this, and I did, and like it honestly feels like Fincher's just smiling at you, just like, I know how to make this scary. And it's the most classic horror setup in the whole movie, where they're just stacking it. And even though it's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I know what you're doing.
Look,
but you're right.
Look,
and I'm still like gripping the chair, shivering. Like,
genuinely,
oh, come on.
This is we can actually turn this into a good bit of DM advice. Like, legitimately, painting by numbers, if you paint the thing well, it's still incredible. It doesn't matter if you painted it by numbers. Do you know what I mean? Like, it does not matter at all. Like, if you paint by numbers the Mona Lisa, you take a long enough to do it, you'll still get the Mona Lisa. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
there's a reason that the numbers exist.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure Da Vinci or whatever used to paint using like maths equations and all. Anyway, that makes sense. That's a whole different thing. Yeah. But yeah, like it legitimately. I think this is like, I would say the same thing for DMing. It's like, look, it doesn't matter if this is a trope. This is a thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm signposting here. I'm doing the thing. But it all pays off. We know it. It's recognizable. Like, it works. Mm-hmm. It just works.
Yeah.
It's speaking of just working, Olivia, you just work. Tell us where people can find your stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. You can find me on Dicebreaker, which is youtube.com/dicebreaker, where we do a bunch of like TTRPG stuff. We do board games, we do reviews, we do all sorts of other stuff. It's a good time. And also we have dicebreaker.com, where there's a bunch of like articles and stuff you can read if you love board games and TTRPGs.
That sounds horrible. I can't imagine finding anything on there that I'd enjoy.
It might surprise you. You know, you never know.
We'll see. Wow, this is so cool.
I also do a little cheeky bit of Twitch streaming, and Olivia does dark magic.
Cheeky little sprinkle. A Nando's, a cheeky Nando's, a little cheeky bit.
Nando's.
Eating Nando's while streaming and playing video games.
Oh my god, that sounds like a fantastic time. I'm more than okay to live stream whilst eating multiple Nando's chicken wings and playing video games. My controller will get hella saucy. But, you know, that's just something we're going to have to live with, I think.
A saucy stream.
A saucy stream. Second stretch goal. Boom.
Yes, a saucy stream. Yes, we're just eating saucy foods and playing video games, just dripping the sauce everywhere.
You've got to keep playing, even though you can't. You can barely press.
And it's hot sauce, so you're burning, but you can't wipe yourself off.
You know, I would actually genuinely love to do a eating something hot live stream. I think it'd be very fun.
I'll try and play a
really hard game or something. Whilst
we try to DM after eating hot.
That's such a good idea.
Eat like a ghost pepper or a California Reaper,
Carolina Reaper.
Eat the Carolina Reaper and then just have to DM.
There was another one. There was like I saw it on Hot Ones the other day. They had Chili Klaus on Hot Ones. If you haven't checked out Hot Ones, by the way, it's a great YouTube.
It's really good.
They had this like, they said they had this like, it was like a chocolate something. It was
I may have seen this.
But they said that like even more than the Carolina Reaper, because that one like came in like waves, like real. Whereas the Carolina Reaper is like constant, so you can kind of start to adjust to it. Whereas this one was just like, bam! It was like it was hammering at the door, and I was just, I imagine. Trying to DM. Do you know what we should do? I think you should DM like totally normally, and then it's like we hit combat. Everyone pops a Carolina Reaper, and like the whole crew pops a Carolina Reaper, and we have to. We can't have any milk or water until we get out of combat.
No.
Oh, dude!
The fastest combat. Oh my god.
Everyone would be dropping like ninth level spike, fireball. Oh! Like, fireball, no, I don't have that spell, it's just my mouth.
That's amazing. Yes, I like this idea.
Okay.
Did Chili Klaus do his snap? Did he do his patented snap?
Yeah, he did the click on his ears.
I don't know why he does that, but whenever he eats hot peppers, he just starts snapping.
He finds it in his ears. Like he finds the heat like he's in his ears and somehow like doing that like make like it, I think he said on the interview like it was like it he feels like he's almost like going a bit deaf because he can feel his ears just like like
Whoa.
It overwhelms all the senses, isn't it? So it's just like,
by the way, if you also check out Chili, if you like the sound of this game, we will 100% do it. I will make this happen.
That could be a stretch goal.
That could definitely be a stretch goal. But if you like it, check out Chili Klaus, because he's done a bunch of videos where like he gets like an orchestra to pop a Carolina Reaper before they play, and like the thing is the strings and stuff think they've got it bad. Then you go over to the woodwind instruments and they're like, screaming
that's what I meant.
Yeah, they are like screaming into their instruments. Like it is horrible. Because the thing is, blowing out, that makes it so much worse.
And with brass, it's basically buzzing your lips. So like, at least with woodwinds, you're like holding your embouchure and then.
The funniest thing as well is like they're trying to like turn the page and like they're literally like trying to see the music, and they're like all crying and they've got their hands on their instruments, they can't see, and it's just, they do surprisingly well. I think he did another one with like a teenage choir as well, which was funny.
I assume it's just screaming, right? Just really high pitched.
Yeah, they get some notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah, there you go. If you want that stretch goal, head over to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/tbhalflings. You find a bunch of extra content on there, including bonus episodes and talkbacks for our actual plays and stuff like that. And we're on social medias at tbhalflings everywhere. I am also on social media at JW_Cartwright. And Jeremy, yes. I do believe you are on the Twitter sphere as well.
Yes, at Jeremy Cobb 1. Cobb with two B's.
Cobb with two B's. Very exciting. And
Olivia, are you on the Twitter?
On the Twitters?
I'm indeed on the tweets. Yes, I'm at Does Dark Magic. That's me.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. Yeah. So long, Shire folk.
So long, Shire folk. I'm doing the
so
world.
Long, Shire.
Yes.
Yes. We always want our guests to say the so
but
long.
But we never like, instruct them to do so. We're always like, yeah. It has to come from you.
I was like, it's a risk. I was like, do I do it? And I was like, oh, just let it out. Yeah.
Hello, it's about that time that we give some thanks to some incredible people who have decided to sign up to our Patreon. I would like to, first of all, start with a slight correction on my part, a mispronunciation, if you will, that I perpetrated here on the Patreon thanks. So I would like to extend my apologies to Myrna. Myrna, thank you so much for correcting me for my hideous pronunciation of your name, your lovely and beautiful name, and I want to thank you very much for being a patron. I would also like to give a special shout out to Kira. That is right, we were reached out to by Lorelei Frost on our Patreon, and Kira said that you were a big fan of the show, and said, hey, if you happen to do a shout out, then maybe give one to Kira. So thank you very much. We're giving a special shout out to Kira. Thank you very much for listening to the show. You are amazing. We love you. So, if you're not signed up to the Patreon yet, there's so much stuff that you can get there, as all of the following people will be able to tell you. So what are you waiting for? Go and sign up now. But in the meantime, I would like to extend some huge, sumptuous, halfling thanks to all of the following people for their incredible generosity in joining our Patreon. So first, I would like to thank Siddy, then thanks to you, Hazard, and then M. Belknap, Taylor, Mo P., Elias Olson, Antonio Hall, Nicole Titchener, Jennifer Chapman, John H., Hordofo. I think that's Hordofo. Let me know. Correct me. I'm in the business of doing corrections at the moment. Heather, Yvonne, Nicole Abeya, Lorelei Frosty, Sentient Bagel. Sentient Bagel. That's incredible. Could you imagine a bagel with little arms and legs? Man, that'd be cool. Maggie Schaller, Paige, John Wilson, William Irwin, and James. Thank you so much for all of your support. We couldn't make this show without you. We appreciate you and love you. Thank you very, very much for your support, and we will see you very, very soon. Bye-bye!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.